Okay, I have to organize my notes here. I want to talk about our awareness. Awareness is reality. Whatever realm we're aware of becomes our reality. And we have a choice in this, don't we? We can look out at the world and see chaos, or we can focus on Father and walk in peace. I think the children of God, when they walk in awareness of His presence, aren't going to be moved by any of it. When we walk in awareness of His presence, there's no striving. There's no work to be done. We're one with Him. We're hearing what He's saying. We're seeing what He's doing. We're just flowing. That is the life that He's given us. Now, speaking of awareness, if you look at John 12:28, Jesus said, "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Now look at the awareness of the people. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Okay, so some heard a natural thing. Others said an angel has spoken to him. So those people heard a created thing. Amen. How many people heard the Father? What camp are we in? I know what camp you want to be in. What camp are you in? Think about it. I mean, we all want to be aware of what God's doing. How do we become more aware? Well, if we go back a little higher in John 12 to verse 24, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also." So there's a thing of humility. God's really not into math so much. Because if He was, things would be really different. See, to be the greatest in the kingdom, you have to be the least. Right? That doesn't work out mathematically. To have a life, you must lose it. It's weird. See, Jesus came forth in the most humble circumstances. Think about this. He was born in a stable with all the accompanying odors. His mother was considered an adulteress, right? She wasn't married. She said she was a virgin, but she's pregnant. Figure that one. And Jesus was considered a bastard child. Are you going to choose this? How many of us would choose this? No one. No one in their right mind, huh? But this is what He had to do to bring us in. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians 13, it says, David touched on this, "Examine yourself to see if you are in faith." I've always wondered what that meant. But I'm seeing it as daily, throughout the day, we need to examine ourselves to see if we are in faith or in flesh. Yeah, we have faith, but at this particular moment, are you walking in an awareness of His presence? If you are, then you are in faith. You can't have faith without His presence. We don't have the ability. We don't have the ability to do anything for Him. So one of the alternatives to being aware of Him is the religious spirit. Because as a religious spirit, we will have some element of control. And that makes us feel good. Whether it's we've been able to discipline ourselves, or we can control situations, it's all about projecting our ego. And this is rampant in the church, I'm sorry to say. Sometimes we do that because we want to avoid our own weaknesses. So we cover it up with ego. You know, a lot of egomaniacs are extremely insecure. But you know what? Isn't it our weaknesses that are the very platform for the power of God to show forth in us?
Yes.
So why would we want to cover those? I don't get it. I want to see God working in my life. I know I'm a goof. There's no doubt about it. Maybe our own shortcomings are too much to bear. Do you remember the story about the master who gave talents to three of his servants? Well, the one guy, you know, risked them and made a profit, gave it back to the master. The other guy risked a little less because he was given less, but he made a profit and gave it back to the master. And the third one, he was viewing the master through the lens of his own personality. You ever thought about that? He said, "You're a hard man. You reap where you don't sow. So I buried it, and here, you got what's yours. You don't deserve any more." See, his own personality and his problems came to bear, and he viewed the Father through those. How about us? We'd never do that, right? Well, what is God? Is He the Savior or the Solver? Do we come to Him to get Him to solve all of our problems? How much of your prayer is based on problems? And what percentage? You come to Him begging, "Get me out of this situation, make this happen, heal this," all this stuff. Well, I mean, we can approach Him like that, and He loves us. He'll accept us. But how accurate is our view of Him when we approach Him as the problem solver? I think God's actually more of an artist than a problem solver. What's your favorite art medium? Tell me. Just somebody voice their favorite art medium.
Clay.
Clay? Music?
Sewing.
Sewing.
Sculpture.
Sculpture.
Jewelry.
Jewelry. Yeah, I've heard of that. I mean, I love so many art media.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of getting into jewelry too. But yeah, I know, really. But you know, you read Genesis and you hear about God fashioning things, creating. And you just look at anything on this planet, and it's so gorgeous. Like I grow this ginger in my backyard, and it's so fragrant. But you know what? It doesn't need bees to pollinate it, so there's no point to the fragrance. It's for us. It's for us. It's just God's goodness is just all over everything on this planet. There's things that he made that don't have any point to them. There's no function to it. It's just gorgeous. And I think most of the planet misses it. It says in Ephesians 2:10 that we are his workmanship. And that word workmanship is the one that Marty brought out, that we, the Greek word that we get the word poem for. Did you know that? We're his poem. Yeah. How many have read the Chronicles of Narnia? If you haven't read it, you've missed a really beautiful thing. When God was creating the earth, it was a song. It was a song. I want to explain how I make my art, because I see the Father doing that with us. See, we're his art. We're not his army. We're his art. Amen. And what is he busy doing? He's busy, whatever art media you want to think of, if it's a painting, he's busy putting paint on the canvas to make something gorgeous that he can show off to the rest of the world. That's what each of us are. I just feel this so strongly. If it's a garment that he's making, it's going to fit perfectly. It's going to be beautiful. There's colors and textures. If it's a song, it's going to have rhythm, and it's going to have rest, and a melody and harmonies. Pick your favorite art medium and look at yourself as that thing, and relate God's working in you to that medium. When I make a piece of jewelry, I approach it as the master goldsmith that I am. God has made me that. I understand when I pick up that metal that the only option for that metal is to do what I want it to do. There is no other option. I won't accept it. I bend it, I forge it, I heat it, I anneal it, I polish it, I sand it, all this stuff. The only option for that material is to do what I want it to do. And I will not accept it not doing that. I think our Father's kind of the same way with us. He has a certain thing in mind that each of us are to look like. And there's no exceptions. There's no excuses. Either we are going to resist him, or we're going to flow with him. There's no other option. And he doesn't accept resistance. Right? Every problem in your life is irrelevant. God wants to produce certain things in us. He wants a certain color. He wants a certain rhythm. He wants a sound. He wants a texture. Get over your problems. They're not your problems. They're some other thing. Our only problem is to surrender to His artistic vision. That's it. That's our only option. And after I bend that metal, I'll braze it together with another piece. And I'll sand it and I'll polish it. And then I'll look at it and I'll think, you know, this needs a little bit more attention. It looks good, but it's not Terry White good. So I go back to the wheels and I polish it some more. I read something Bill Johnson said, and it's basically mirroring what I said in my opening line, is we always reflect the nature of the world we are most aware of. It's your choice. Surrender to His artistic vision. And you can find something about that in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Thank you.